Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week's epistle lesson was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and this week the epistle lesson is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and St. Paul has two themes that kind of flow together, and I want to notice that. Also, I want to notice last week was a snow day, and so not everybody was, well, none of us were in church, but some of you watched the sermon on YouTube, and not everybody did, so I want to reference a little bit of that sermon last week, but pull it into 1 Corinthians 2. Both of these opening chapters to a wonderful book from St. Paul, to a church that he himself had established, and he has some concerns about their faith walk, and so as you read the rest of the book, it's fun to see what he has to say and what he would say to the church. Now, that's by way of introduction. We're going to get to the last half of chapter 1 and then the first half of chapter 2 in just a minute. But in preparation for it, I couldn't help in my preparations this week to notice there's two phrases that I say a lot. And I think Paul is saying these things, not exactly the same language that I used. But I want to say my phrases up front and we'll see if they are consistent with what Paul says. And you've heard some of them of this before, especially if you come to Bible classes, but they're short. Here's the first one. I say quite often, live your life. And the reason I say that is, as a pastor, I've often had people say to me, the world is spinning out of control, right? It's literally becoming insane. What are we supposed to do, right? That's what you get. Everything's changing all of a sudden and so quick. Pastor, how am I supposed to live my faith walk? And what I often say is, live your life. Live your faith life. What I mean is, you're not the governor. You're not responsible for governor things. You're not the one who runs a private playground on an island in the Caribbean for the rich and the famous. Vile things happen in much of the world. And you can be aware of them, but what are you supposed to do? Live your life, right? You see the point? Now, one of them is live your life. The other one is learn and grow. I think the Bible urges that on all of us all the time, to learn, to grow, to be a person rooted in your faith, and then to develop that. So I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and chapter 2 and see, I think Paul, without saying it that way, is saying that content. So I'm going to look at several verses from 1 Corinthians 1 to kind of get us the construct of what he's saying here. Listen to chapter 1, verse 18. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God, right? Get it? The message of the cross, the preaching of Christ for sinners, Christ crucified and then risen again for your salvation. The world has said, that's nonsense. And you've said, I'll stake my life on that. Foolishness to those who are perishing. That's chapter 1, verse 18. I want to go to chapter 1, verse 21. He says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. That's always a fun phrase for a preacher. The foolishness of preaching, what I'm doing right now. Now, here's a fun question. Is the pastor supposed to be a fool? No. So how did we get this one, right? No. But here's the fun thing. God says he works through the foolishness of preaching. Imagine this. You're the people that showed up to hear it. Now, that's verse 21. He's going to let us know the punchline in verse 25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. And I said in last week's sermon, so I want to say it here because not everybody heard it. This is what you and I would say. This text deserves finger quotes. When Paul says God's foolishness, he doesn't mean that it is foolishness. He's saying that the truth of God is that which is true, but which is regarded as foolishness by the world. You see the point? He's not calling us to be fools. He's saying we should be fools for Christ in the sense that we follow this one and we don't care what the world says about it. Now, here is an example. He talks about the wisdom of the world. And the world thinks what it thinks, and then they look at you like you're the weird one. So the world, in its wisdom, now tells us there are 58 genders. And that happened just a few hours ago that we discovered that. And not only does that idea crop up, then it becomes, well, everybody thinks that, don't you? And if you say, not only did God say there's two genders, but human experience says there's two, they look at you like you're foolish. You see what he's saying? But Paul would say that the foolishness of God is greater than all of the world's wisdom. We want to get that, right? Okay, now, Paul is saying that to the Corinthians, and so in chapter 2 he says this. He's a missionary who went to their town, and he says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I didn't come with eloquence or human wisdom." There it is again. "As I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." He's saying, here's the gospel, Christ for sinners. Christ is God's answer to man's problem, and this is what I want to get. He's adding, and I think his attitude is, and I don't care what the world says about that. Right? So, what's he going to say? What's his point? I think he is saying, when I say live your life, you hear what he's saying? He's saying, I'm going to be a Christ follower, popular or not. And he's going to say this. He's going to say, the world is going to regard you as foolish. Just know that. The Bible does not soft pedal the faith to you. It does not say if you follow the Lord, you'll always be popular. You'll be popular among believers. But if you follow the Lord, you might have some unpopular opinions. Jesus Christ said, if they hated me, they'll hate you on account of me. Right? Now, here's this fun thing about Paul. I think he's saying the world and its wisdom, the world in its wisdom is going to regard you as foolish, so shrug it off. Shrug it off. Because St. Paul continues, Paul goes to Corinth, and in verse 3 it says, I came to you, I want us to hear his words, I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. Now, I'm fascinated to hear Paul say that, because when we think of St. Paul, we think St. Paul was a powerful preacher. Paul was firm in his convictions, right? We make Paul like this, right, strong, overbearing dude. And the reality is, he's letting us know his heart. And I want us to catch this, by the way. Paul's a Jewish man, educated to be a rabbi, but in Corinth, he's going to a Gentile city. And not only is it a Gentile city, it's a university city. So St. Paul is saying, I'm going to go to a foreign land, a foreign city, and I'm going to be talking to a lot of intellectuals. And they're going to regard it as foolish. And that's why he says, as firm as he is in his faith, he says, I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. I just love that he opens up his heart to us like that. Because when you leave this place, your job is to be a witness in the world. Now, if you show up at a workplace, and not everybody around you is a believer, and you're called on to speak the truth, how do you feel about it, right? Paul is saying, I came to you with the gospel, but I felt very inadequate to do it. And Paul is saying to you, if you ever feel like I need to stand up for the truth and I feel inadequate, guess what? You're where Paul was. You see it? I want us to get that. But as much as he says he came to them in weakness and fear and trembling, what else did he do? He did it anyway, right? So he says, you can feel inadequate. You can feel like the other guy's smarter. You can feel like the other guy's richer. Do it anyway. You see what he's saying? I don't care what the world says. Now, I think you would add this. The world is going to regard you as foolish. The question is, how does God regard you? And back in chapter 1, he says that when you were called, not many of you were wise, not many of you were powerful, not many of you were of noble birth, but guess what? God called you, see? He's saying God has called you, his son and his daughter, God, by his grace, has saved you. And so what does the world think about me? That's one topic. What does God think about me? And the third question, obviously, would be, so which one matters more? You see it, right? That's what St. Paul is saying. Now, I think you can say all of that is kind of a live your life. Paul is in a majority pagan culture. He's in a culture that opposes the gospel. He's in a culture that's going to reject his preaching. And what does Paul do? Just goes on about his business, right? He goes on about his business. He's a faithful preacher of the gospel. I think he is saying, live your life. Now, when I say the second part is learn and grow, I want us to notice this shift that happens at verse 6. He says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Do you hear that? We need to hear that. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Now, I want us to catch why he says that. He has used the word foolishness ironically several times. He keeps saying foolishness. He doesn't mean foolishness. He means that which is considered foolish, although it happens to be true. But he doesn't want us to miss the point. Because he said foolishness so much, he's afraid that somebody might think, oh, I'm supposed to be a fool now. No. So that's why St. Paul says, I've used the word foolishness ironically. I now want you to know that among the mature, we do speak a message of wisdom. You see what he's saying? You've been saved by grace through faith in Christ, the crucified one. But after you've been saved, he wants you to what? Grow. He wants you to mature in it. He doesn't want you to be saved once and say, there, I'm set. Hebrews chapter 6, let us leave behind the elementary doctrines and move on to maturity. There's a lot of passages. In fact, in Bible class just before this, a member of this congregation pointed out in 2 Peter chapter 3, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right? Grow. He says, we speak a message of wisdom among the mature. I want you to be mature. Mature is a process word. That's an overtime word. That's it takes time and effort to work on it. So let us suppose if God is saying he wants us to mature, how would I do that? And the answer is, no surprise, right? To be in his word. The Bible's the word of God. This is God's word in human language. And if it's in human language, he wants me to what? Read it. Think on it. Meditate on it. Reread it. Read it again. Wonder why does this word go there? Why is this verb a future tense? Why is that verb a past tense? I know you guys love grammar. The grammar matters. It's in words. It's in human words. Think about, why is this a passive voice verb? Why did Paul use this verb, not that verb? You see what I'm saying? I think he wants us to do that. To read, to meditate on it, to know it, to read it, and to read it some more, and then this crazy concept, to apply it. Not just to ask, what does it mean, but ask, what does it mean to me? That's what growth is. To know the Word of God and to apply it to me. Consider this. Suppose a young man, he's at the age to start dating, and he has heard there's this commandment in the Old Testament, thou shalt not commit adultery. He gets the concept, thou shalt not commit adultery. I got it. What does it mean with his girlfriend? You see what I'm saying? To read it and to apply it to me. Now, a former pastor of ours in Virginia, I'm going to steal his line, 1 Timothy 4:16. Our pastor used to quote this verse from St. Paul to Timothy, young pastor, and that verse is, watch your life and your doctrine closely. I want us to catch that he stuck two words together. Watch your what? Your life and your doctrine. Now here's what he's saying, and this is what my pastor's line was this. Pastor Paulke used to always say, lifestyle is doctrine lived out. Do you catch that? We know the doctrine, we study the doctrine, but lifestyle is the doctrine lived out. I think that's right. That's the call of God. I think that if you read chapter 1 and chapter 2, I think Paul is saying, I say it concisely, but I think he's saying this: you've been called by God to be a Christ follower. You do not care what the world thinks about that, right? Let them regard it as foolishness. You will live your life, he might say this, live your faith life without regard to what the world has to say. And as you live it, study, read, learn, and grow. That's what this church is supposed to be about, right? That's what this church is supposed to be equipping you for, and all of us, to live and learn, if you want to say it that briefly. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.